Okay, so Mir Tashem, tonight we're going to finish up with the Seder, as we say by the end, the Chasal Seder Pesach Kil Chasam. So we have a lot of topics to try to cover. We're picking up tonight from the very end of the Shulchan Aruch, right? We discussed the Machlokas, the Rambam, the Meiri, etc., some of the Inyanim Bar HaSeba, the Chashivas of the Suda by Seder night. The very last thing that we do by the Seder, of course, is the stage of the Tzafon, the Afikomen. The Rav Soloveitchik pointed out Stam, just regarding the name Tzafon. Tzafon literally, like in Ivrit, comes from a lashon of being hidden, of being tumman, of being concealed in something. So he pointed out in the name of Rav Chaim that we call the Afikomen by the name Tzafon. We're about to see, as we learn the Rishonim, that the Afikomen on various levels is a zecher to the Karban Pesach that was eaten at the end of the Suda. By Kodshim, by Karbanos, you know there's a halacha of Shmir. You have to be Shomir Karbanos to make sure that they're free from any kind of tumma, prevent them from coming in contact with tumma. The Afikomen, which is sitting around the table, basically, in order to make sure that it stays clear, we have a minhag, and I'm sure everyone has this, like by their family, have like a little Afikomen bag that you stick the Afikomen of matzah in. That, the Reb Chaim explained, is not just like stam a thing, like, you know, keep it clean or whatever it is, or so the kids can go hide it, it doesn't break when they stick it behind the couch. The Afikomen bag is based on that concept of a shmir, of taking the thing that was a zecher to the Karban Pesach and protecting it. And therefore we call it the tzaf, and the matzah that was hidden, concealed, etc., based on that model of a Karban Pesach. Now, the sugya of the Afikomen is a rather big sugya. It begins with Kuf Yotes Amud Beis in Pesachim. And the Gemara, the Mishnah starts in Kuf Yotes. It goes straight through Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. A lot of discussion. Well, again, like normal, we're going to focus on some of the Rashi Prakan. The Mishnah gives us a halacha that Ein Meftiun Acher Pesach Afikomen. Very, very odd formulation in the Mishnah. You can't, Machtiran comes from the Lashon of leave. You can't leave after the Karban Pesach and Afikomen. Now, what in the world does that mean? And the Gemara has a couple of different pshatim how to learn that Mishnah. We're going to jump right now to the pshat that actually, like so to speak, wins halacha l'maisa, the pshat that emerges as the normative halacha, where the Gemara tells us basically what that means like this. The Afikomen is a notrikin, is a compound word based on a number of different Aramaic kinds of words. Afiku, you should bring out the mine matiki, you should bring out a lot of sweet things, which means that you're not allowed to end after the Karban Pesach with sweet things. So the Gemara explains what that means is that there's an Isser, and there's an issur of having a dessert, basically, after the Karban Pesach. Remember, we're speaking in the Mishnah about the Karban Pesach, not about the matzah that we have at the end of the Seder. So the real name, Afikomen, the Mishnah explains, the Gemara explains the Mishnah is that in Lashon Utrika, that hybrid, that compound word of, you're not allowed to eat any kind of dessert, any mine matika, you can't bring out any sweets after you ate the Karban Pesach. And why is that? Truth, Rashbam explains that there is a halacha, and the Gemara teaches you that you don't want to be ma'abed, you don't want to lose or destroy the tam Pesach. You don't want to destroy the taste of the Karban Pesach that's there in your mouth. If you ate the Karban Pesach and you have whatever meat kind of a taste, roasted meat, barbecue in your mouth, and you go start eating whatever it was like that overcame that taste, Gemara feels that that's an inappropriate thing. The Mefarshim explain why that's a problem, but Lamaisa, that is the problem that the Gemara identifies here. So you can't have any stuff after you've eaten the Karban Pesach. Then the Gemara has a Chiddush. The Gemara has a Chiddush over here. That Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel tells us that Ein Meftiun Acher Matzah Afikomen. Not only can't you have an Afikomen, you can't have any sweets after the Karban Pesach, he also can't have an Afikomen after the matzah as well. That's the lining. The Gemara, it's a little bit ambiguous. What is then after what matzah? What are you talking about? So the Rashbam explains that this Gemara is the reference in Shas for the practice that we follow nowadays of having this Afikomen matzah at the end of the Seder. And I think by now we realize that the phrase Afikomen matzah is, I don't want to call it a misnomer, because that's the way it's always discussed, and even in the Shulchan Aruch by all the Rishonim, but I hope you appreciate a little bit more the source of why that word is used. That really, the word Afikomen is just referring to like the dessert stuff. You can't have foods after you're done with this particular piece of matzah. Now, what's that all about? Here you have a very, very big machlokas in Rishonim between the Rashbam and the Rush. And this is a critical machlokas, not just in terms of the pshat of what the Afikoman is, but on a halachic level as well. Rashbam explains, a tremendous chiddush. Rashbam explains like this. First of all, we should know, background, that the halacha was that the Korban Pesach, halacha is rather, that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten al hasova, after you're already satiated, you have to be full when you eat the Korban Pesach. A debate in the Rishonim why that's true. Tosis brings Yerushalmi that says that's basically just a din derabanan, since we know that you're not allowed to break the bones of the Korban Pesach, so the Chazal were afraid. Let's say you have a guy, you can imagine your guest at somebody's house for Shabbos, and you come, you're not exactly 100% happy with the food that you had, so you finish like your piece of chicken Friday night, and you're just like, you're still hungry, so what do? So you pick up the bone of the pork, and you start like devouring the bone. You're breaking, you want to just suck out every little last piece of marrow, etc. Obviously that's rude, etc., but you're hungry, but what are you going to do, right? Just, there's nothing else left over here. So the Yerushalmi explained that was the concern over here. If you ate your Korban Pesach, you were just like a shtickle, like hungry, so you might be tempted. Bone marrow tastes very, very good. I don't know if anyone's tried it before, but it tastes like very, very good. So, right, you're familiar with that? You ever tried like a lamb chop, a really good lamb chop, you eat the marrow, that's fine, gevaldik. And the Gemara, it's a taifa. You might come to the Isra of Shviras Etzem. That's serious. You might come to the Isra of Shviras Etzem on the Korban Pesach. So you have to eat the Korban Pesach al hasova after you're ready full. At the end of your meal, after everything is done. The last thing, so we're not worried about you breaking any bones, etc. by the time you're done. Says the Rashbam like this. The Chazal wanted us to make at the Seder a zecher to the Korban Pesach. We have to have our Seder being done in ways that remind us of the basic procedure that took place Bizman HaMikdash. Bizman HaMikdash, we know. Bizman HaMikdash, we know that when you ate the Korban Pesach, we had the Pasuk a couple of times, right? Al Matzah, Sumrodim, Yochlu. You have to eat the Korban Pesach along with Matzah and the Mara. All those things come together. We discussed the Machlokas, the Rabbanan and Hillel a couple of days ago. Right? Everything has to be eaten together. The mitzvah of Matzah, the Rashbam points out, Nidoraisa, when you're actually having the Korban Pesach, was performed when you ate the Korban Pesach at the end of the Suda, at the end of the whole like eating session. So Rashbam says like this, the real, carefully here, listen carefully, the real mitzvah Doraisa of Achilas Matzah, the real mitzvah is not the matzah that you ate at the Motzi Matzah stage of the Seder. The real mitzvah of matzah is the matzah that you're eating at the Afikoman. That's when you're mekayeming the mitzvah Doraisa. The Rashbam says, I ate matzah before, and I made a bracha al achilas matzah before. And so, like, what's pshat with that? Now you tell me that the mitzvah is first mekuyim all the way at the end of the Seder. So Rashbam says, not really such a problem. He quotes a Gemara earlier in Perek Arvei Pesachim, and the Gemara points out that there are times in halacha when you make a bracha, even a birkas mitzvah, and you won't do the mitzvah right away. The Gemara discusses a case where you only have one kind of vegetable to use for both karpas and mar. But mar has to be in after the matzah. The Gemara discusses you would make a borei pri adama, you would make an al achilas mar at the very beginning, right by karpas. You have in mind, you're not being yotzei then, that the real mar has to be in later on. But you can't make a bracha al achilas mar after the matzah, the Gemara says, when you already stuffed your face with a pound of mar back then, you ate the mar already. So you make the bracha at the beginning, even though you're not going to do the mitzvah till later. We have the idea, many Rishonim and Rosh Hashanah point out, it comes up by Tekiyah Shofar. The real mitzvah, according to many Rishonim, Rashi and others, of Tekiyah Shofar is not the shofar blast that we blow right after the Kriyas HaTorah, but it's the shofar tios, the kolos that we blow during the Chazaras HaShatz. I make the bracha an hour beforehand, right after the Kriyas HaTorah. That's okay. That's okay to make the bracha a little earlier. Says the Rashbam, that's the same exact thing that's going on over here. The real mitzvah of matzah is performed at the end of the Seder. That's the Rashbam. Yeah?
Why would we make the bracha first?
Well, I have to add one little detail. The Rashbam points out again, you have to have the suda first. Right? You have to eat it has to be al hasov. You're having your suda as yom tov. You have to have matzah. It's Pesach. You can't have like challahs back then. So you have to eat matzah. So once you're mechuyev to wash and eat matzah, and you're going to be eating matzah already, so the Gemara says you have to make the bracha right now, because it would be inappropriate to make the bracha alach, this new great thing, God commanded me to eat matzah, but what do you mean? You ate matzah 2 hours ago already. You did that already. So you make the bracha before you do the action even though the kiyum of the mitzvah is not going to be till later on. Now, I just stuck in that line like a little bit of alumnus. They say that's not necessarily the pshat in those Rishonim, but that's an easy way to understand it at least, because that the bracha is on the maisa, not necessarily on the kiyum.
So therefore you have to have that kavana in order to actually do it
very well? You don't necessarily have to have that in your own mind, because the concept that you want to begin is Vachem points out of Leiv Bez Din Master, there's certain implicit anti-kavanas that like that's what your kavana was, even though you never realized that growing up in Oceanside, etc., right? But like, but that you did, trust me, because you did. That's the halacha.
You're not like what Gal is asking you to do that, like, you know,
right, because that's the halacha. Like, you just didn't realize what you're doing, but like you wanted to do the right thing, and the right thing is like that. That's the Rosh Bat. Yeah. Well, again, if you remember, we mentioned at the time, that's the Rai the Maral brings, that you're always at a Kazayis Bekarpa. So, man, that's a pretty good Rai, we point out. If you look according to that Pre-Chadash we mentioned, is Doka that Rai, if that works out. The Pasha says it doesn't, that's why in Bris they eat a Kazayis of the Karpas. Now, the Rush, on the other hand, though, has a totally different sheet about what the deal with the Afikoman is. The Rush and Simon Lamed Dalet, back over here. The Rosh has a kasha in the Rashbam. He says, and I don't really understand, Mr. Rashbam. According to you, the real mitzvah of matzah is being mekuyim at the end of the Seder. What really should have made sense was to, like, the whole Seder should be totally different. For example, this will focus on one little detail. You should also, if you're trying to do the mitzvahs at the proper time when you would have done the midaraisa, you should also be eating maror right now as well along with your matzah, because midaraisa you had the maror with the Karban Pesach, right? So why are you leaving out the maror and only eating matzah at the end of the meal, the Rosh says? So Rosh says, I'll tell you what the pshat is. The mitzvah of matzah, the Rosh says, is really get back a good old motzi matzah. Well, like you always thought growing up, that's when you're doing the mitzvah matzah. That's the way it is. What am I doing when I'm eating the afikom? And the Rosh says, all I'm doing is one simple little thing, and that's called, I'm being mekayim the halach of zeicher lemikdash. That's it. Tzion hi doresh eilav, the gemara mem aleph and sukkah that we all had. You have to make a zeicher lemikdash. Hey, what's the zeicher lemikdash? Bizman, the base of mikdash. You used to eat a carbon pesach at the end of the meal. How do I remember that? Nowadays, I remember that by eating a piece of matzah. What's the point? What's the connection? Well, they also happen to have had matzah, so I remember that this was the time that you would have eaten the carbon pesach. But that's the entire thing. Now, you realize that there's a couple of nafkaminas, a very big nafkaminas, the halacha, but that revolve around this machlokas between the Rashbam and the Rosh. Go through a couple of simple points. Number one, first of all, how much does a person have to eat by the afikoman? Now, if I'm holding like the Rosh, that all I'm doing is a zeichel of mikdash, but this has no connection at all to the mitzvah of matzah, there's no reason to have to eat more than a kezayis. Right? You eat a kezayis, so that's the standard shir achila. If you remember, we pointed out that the halach is brought by the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, that when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, we have a hakpadati, two kezayis of a matzah. So according to the Rashbam, if that's the matzah that you're eating for the mitzvah, you have to have two kezayis, hands down. You can't have anything less than that. That's issue number one. There's another discussion that the poskim have. What about haseba, having to do a seba by the afikoman? Well, if I'm holding like the Rashbam, that the point of the afikoman is that is your mitzvah of achilas matzah, of course I have to do a seba then. If I don't do a seba, I'm not yotze. Now, on the other hand, if I'm holding like the Rosh, that it's a zecher to the Karban Pesach, it's possible that one would not have to do a seba. Why do I say possible? There's a fascinating little thing. If one takes a tour through, not a tour like the tour Shulchan Aruch, one takes a T-O-U-R through the Rambam in Hilchos Pesach, in Hilchos Karban Pesach, all over. He never mentions once in the Rambam that there's a Chiv Haseba when it comes to the Karban Pesach. The Rambam speaks about the Deen of Karban Pesach. He describes the Seder when you had a Karban Pesach. He speaks about a Seba by Matzah, etc., and all of that. But he doesn't say a word ever about doing a Seba by the Karban Pesach. So it's very possible, that if we can be medayik from the Rambam, if there's no Din Haseba by the Karban itself, certainly there's no Din of Haseba by when you're making a Zecher to that Karban, which would be the case according to the Rosh. That's another nafkamina. There's a third issue that comes up, and this is discussed in the halacha as well. What about the issue of making a hefsek? A hefsek. That's actually the one that might be the most difficult to comply with. If I'm like the Rashbam, right? That the real mitzvah is the afikoman, the matzah you're having at the end. But I'm making the bracha well, let's call a spade, maybe even 2 hours plus before I actually do that mitzvah, theoretically the halacha should have been, what would have made sense was, would have been to say that you're really supposed to try to limit all extraneous talk. You have to limit any extra conversation in between the bracha and the mitzvah, because you don't want to be making a hefsek. Mashenken, according to the Rush, there's no reason to do that. This match has nothing to do at all with the actual mitzvah match that they had from before. And that's a diyun within the halacha. Now, lemaisa, what do we do? Well, lemaisa, like, what is it? All said and done. Lemaisa, we do basically what the Machaber recommends is that we try to be makbid, to be mekayim the shita of the Rashbam as well, which means that we have two kizesim of matzah at the time of the afikomen. We definitely do a seba by the time of the afikomen. Ad kedekach, if a person didn't do a seba, the Mishabura says that he probably should go back and do it over again. A discussion in the Mishabura Bir Halacha, but that's the pashas. He would go back and do it over again. Now talking is something that the poskim were like a little bit more makel about, for the just the simple fact that it's like near impossible to actually like just weed out all conversation for such a long amount of time. Especially, remember, you have like the Shulchan Aruch, you're sitting down at a Suda with a family during the middle, so that with the tendency and practical halacha is that like we're, you know, not really particularly makbid about trying to avoid any kind of a hefsek. Various halachic reasons why that would be true as well, but that's on that level. Now, I have to remember over here now, that's what the Afikomen Matzah is. Now, let's remember, though, that the Gemara points out that there's a halacha now that pertains to that Afikomen Matzah, which was, Ein Maftiyun Achara Matzah Afikomen. You're not allowed to eat any sweets. You can't have dessert after the Afikomen, which the Rishonim point out is a big discussion in the Rishonim, within the Rashbam and the Tosis and the Balamor and the Ramban and the Milchama Samaram Chalav. All the Rishonim over here on the Amud and Tzachim have a long dionim about this topic, but the Gemara basically says that there's a halacha that a person is not allowed to eat anything after the afikomen. The Rashbam explains why. It's the same idea. We don't want you to lose the taste of the afikomen from your mouth. The afikomen's taste has to remain there. Has to remain there in the mouth after you're done eating from the afikomen. Now, what does that mean? So the post can point out a couple of things. We'll take a minute or two to run through some halacha lemaisa about the afikomen. Now, number one, the Yavam Machlokas that the Mishabura caused between the Eliyahu Rabba and Achok Yaakov, what would be the halacha if a person violated this halacha and they ate after the afikomen? They started eating again. They took an apple, they had whatever it was. Are you chayiv to eat the afikomen over again? So halacha lemaisa, even though there's a machlokas about halacha lemaisa, the Mishabura passed that, yeah, Einachem, you do have to eat the afikomen a second time. If you ate something afterwards, you'd be mechuyev to go back and do it once again. That's not such a practical thing. Most people are not really interested in eating anything at that stage in the game after the Seder. That's not one of the more normal taivas that people have. You can't even eat chametz, so it's not really, it's only really worthwhile eating after the afikomen. What is a very common issue is the shayl of drinking after the afikomen. The Gemara says you can't have any sweets, you can't have anything after there. The Pasha says that includes drinking as well as the Rishonim over here point out. Now we know there are two cups of wine that we drink after the afikomen, and that no one can tell you, I'm putter from the last two, because that bottom line is those things you've got to do. But what about any extra drinking aside from those two cups of yayin? So Mishabura points out in Simatafayin Chesif Beis that the halacha is basically like this. You have a lot of shitas in Rishonim. Again, if you look at all the Rishonim here, you see back and forth three or four different opinions in Rishonim about this issue of drinks. Well, we hold halacha lemaisa as follows: that any drink, is supposed to be stayed away from. You shouldn't drink anything, crystal orange or whatever that other thing. Yeah, it's just like stay away from that. That's the rule. You stay away from any kind of a drink, soda, etc., after the afikomen is eaten, except for a couple of things. The Rishonim point out, but like in contemporary poskim, like, you know, have the list in our terms of drinks that don't really take away the taste of the matzah from your mouth. So, for example, tea is something that the Mishnah Berurah quotes that you can drink without a problem. Many, many poskim make it. You can put sugar in the tea. Whatever you can put, the tea is something you'll be able to drink. Coffee, something that they make. Water certainly is not even a shayla that water would be allowed to be drunk after the afikom. So, if a person is like thirsty, it's a long night. Or you just need a little bit more of a kick. You need a little bit more of a boost after the Seder, etc. So it would be okay, halacha l'maaseh, to drink like basic kinds of drinks. Soda we stay away from. Coffee, tea, water, those like really, really basic kinds of drinks, those are okay. The Mishnah Berurah speaks about drinking a very diluted apple juice. He mentions that would be okay to drink if you have like diluted apple juice. That's like with Israeli petzel, that would be fine. Seltzer is certainly going to be fine to drink also. That's the same as water, like that. That's the same as water. Now, the next big afikoman issue that comes up is when the afikoman has to be eaten by. This is actually, I think, one of the more popular halachas by the Seder. I think actually people are aware of this one. The idea that the Gemara points out in Kuf Chav from the Beis, we've had it in Brachos already, famous machlokas of Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. What's the end zman of the Karban Pesach? When does the mitzvah of Karban Pesach end? Now over here, as the Rishonim themselves point out, that we okay, Yavla Machlokas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. We paskin be'etzem, most of the Rishonim seem to say, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Pesach eino nechal, ela ad chatzos, you can only eat the Karban Pesach up until chatzos and layla. Now, the Rishonim point out that it doesn't really matter what the reason you're having an afikoman. Both according to the Rashbam and according to the Rush, the afikoman on whatever level is also a zecher to the Korban Pesach. So according to everybody, the afikoman matzah has to be consumed by the end of the zman of the Korban Pesach, which according to Abba Elazar ben Azariah is chatzos. We paskin like that shita, basically. So we say the afikoman has to be done by the time chatzos comes along. And again, obviously that's close to the end of the Seder. That means you have to look on the calendar, look on the luach, and you figure out how quickly you have to rush things along to make sure you get up to that time. There's a very famous, though, shuv in the Avnei Nezer. This is like one of the famous, you know, famous discussions every year by many, many homes, halavai by yours, on a Pesach night. This Avnei Nezer, Shemesh Shin Pei Aleph. The Avnei Nezer had a beautiful, beautiful chap, a beautiful chap. Sounds like this. Let's say you're having a nice long Seder, and everyone's getting into it, and it's like rolling on and on and on, etc. But you realize, you know, listen, if you want to do what we're doing, it is going to be past Chatzos. Sometimes Chatzos can be like 11:30. It doesn't have to be that as it is like this year. It's in the 11:30 range. It's not that late. Right? So what happens? What do you do then? You can't, you rush the Seder, you skip all the things. What are you supposed to do? Avnezer had a chap. He said like this. Well, listen. The whole idea that you can't eat after the afikoman is that you want to make sure to have the tam of the afikoman in your mouth. So says the Avnei Nezer, makes an assumption. It's an assumption, but almost all of the poskim hold of this assumption, that issue of wanting to have the taste of the afikoman in your mouth is only an issue as long as it's still the zman of the Korban Pesach. But after the zman of Korban Pesach is over, after the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is done, I don't really care if you have the time of the Korban Pesach in your mouth anymore. Right? And that logically speaking, that does make a lot of sense, because if you stop and think about it, what does that mean? I mean, right now, it's about 350-something days since the last Korban Pesach was brought. Theoretically, the last Korban Pesach would have been brought. So, as the Avnei Nezer basically says, if you're going to tell me that the tam has to be forever, like what, 300 days later has to be in your mouth, once the mitzvah is over, it's over. Well, that's the end time that we care about, the end zman. It says the Avnei Nezer like this, beautiful, beautiful chap, lala. This is like what poskim are, it's going to sound like a crass expression, this is what poskim are good for. You think of like a halachic, like ingenious ideas to make life easier for Jews. That's what it's all about. There's a famous sefer. Everyone said the Maggid of Yerushalayim, or Shalom Shvadron. Says he was the grandson of one of the major, major poskim in Europe called the Marsham, who was also called the Pruzhaner Rav. And the Marsham was famous. You look in the sefer Marsham, for kula after kula, Marsham was the biggest makel in the books in his day in two generations ago, Europe. An unbelievable Talmud Chacham, but an unbelievable, everything, with Rayas, Bekiyas, and everything, Mamish, everything at his fingertips, unbelievable Kulas. There's one or two things that they're chumras from the Marsham about, and those were like accepted lahalacha lamaisa, like God-given things. Marsham is machmir about something. That means like that. That's like it. That's like, you know, no way around that. So Marsham writes in the Hagdama to a sefer that he once, and this is like an unbelievable thing. Just as a background to this, having nazar a little bit. He writes that he was once very, very ill, terminally ill. Rachmana litzlan. And he had what they nowadays would call one of these, like, you know, near-death experiences. He basically like went under. He basically had went unconscious. The end was, well, they assumed the end was right there. And he had a vision, he says, in his mind. He saw himself going up to the Kisei HaKavod, going up to Shemaim, to the Bezdin Shemaila. And they had a diyun about the Marsham, like, where are you going to go, this way or that way? And he says that whoever it was, whoever was defending him, I don't remember if he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself came and said, listen, you know, you're an Adam Gadol, you're a Rav, etc. We're going to send you back to the world, but Prujana Rav, this is what he writes, they said to me, Prujana Rav, when you go back, you have to be Makel for the Jews. That we're sending you on a mission back there to make life easier for Am Yisrael. And he said after that, he said he was Terech as much as he possibly could after that experience. When he had a total refuah shlem, a miraculous recovery right after that, and that's when the career of the Marsham as that style post, like, you know, really came to the forefront. And the Avnei Nezer over here in a similar vein came up with an idea to make all of our shtarim work a lot smoother. He said like this: a person sees Chatzos is approaching, 5 minutes left, okay, but I'm about 4 hours behind in the Seder, so I can't squeeze 4 hours of Seder into 5 minutes at times. So he says what you do is like this: you have your matzah, you have two kizeis of a matzah, and you make it tonight, you make the following condition in your mind, you think through the following thoughts. And the Briskarov thought that this would work even if you don't think through the thoughts, but at least you should understand like what the idea, what the concept that the Avnei was suggesting was. He says you eat your two kizeis of a matzah. Now, you say like this: if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, then I'm only allowed to have the afikoman up until chatzos. That means that, okay, in 5 minutes from now it's chatzos. This is my afikoman. This is my mitzvah matzah. This is it. I'm having my matzah right now, right before chatzos. Then what? And then you continue with your seder like normal. Why do you continue with your seder like normal? Because after chatzos passes, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there's no longer any problem. There's no longer any issue of having to have the tam of matzah in your mouth anymore, so you can continue the rest of your Seder with your Marah, with your Shulchan Orech, with the Suda, etc., the cups, because it's after Chatzos, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you're allowed to eat now anyway. And then you say, but if the halach is like Rabbi Akiva, that the Zman goes up until the morning, then I'm going to continue like normal. You just go on with the Seder, after you add those two kizeis of matzah, wherever you were up to, go on with the Seder like normal, and if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, you take it, can eat whatever you want at that stage anyway, you'll have your Afikoman at the end again, and then you move on, Shalom al Yisrael, like normal. And that is the accepted normative psak halacha lamaisa. If a Seder is running late, that famous kula of the Avnei Nezer is the thing that everyone would rely upon. Everyone got that down pat? We're okay with that? That works? Yeah.
Why does the first happen? How do you do it at 12 o'clock? What do you do?
Right before you're about to turn into a pumpkin, what you do is like this: you when you see your arm starting to go green, go orange, whatever the color is, you eat your two kizeis of matzah. Doesn't matter what you're right. You're in the middle of maggot, right? You wash, bracha, eat your right, do your matzah, having in mind that if this man is about to end, I want this to be my matzah, right? Good, and then you just go back to normal. Now, what have you gained by that? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you did your matzah, etc. You ate your thing. When chatzos passes by, though, you're anyway allowed to continue eating, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because you only have to have the tam matzah befiv up until chatzos. So then you can continue, go back to Maggid, continue with the rest of the Seder like normal, and everything's fine.
You have to wait until at least chatzos now.
To continue eating. Right. And then on the other hand, if we all like Rabbi Akiva, then you're allowed to continue with the Seder till tomorrow morning anyway. So you just go on like normal. Huh? Now, and again, like I said, according to the Briskarov, you don't even have to think anything. You just eat the matzah right before Chatzos, and then you're allowed to continue on like normal. You don't even have to make that tonight in your mind. That's the sugya
if you come. You come to Moshi Masa on the Seder, you don't...
Then you wouldn't make brachas over again. You wouldn't make brachas over again. Right.
You
mean from the Seder plate, what would you do?
Yeah.
If you didn't get up to there, I guess, you know, I don't know. I guess you would do like normal. You do like the regular shebang.
Well, I don't know if this was asked, but what if you're in Maggid
You stop, you wash, you do amotzi, halachilas matzah, eat your two gezeisim, brush up your pants, keep going. That's it. What normally happens is that you're somewhere a little bit further than in the middle of the Seder. So then you just, you know, had your matzah, you just grab an afikoman and then keep on going afterwards. That's more normal.
So if you can be made about that, so why can't you be made about the whole thing to begin with, about the afikoman, about eating and drinking stuff afterwards, about the fact that it only applies until chatzos, until the mitzvah?
You keep meaning on a regular Seder. I was done by 10:30. It's past chatzos. Can I go eat? Basically, because if we hold like Rabbi Akiva, so then you're still not allowed to eat like over there. It's not 100% clear what Pascha was in Isaiah, but there are coolers. After chatzos, a person needs something to eat, etc. There is room to be lenient in general, even without that problem, under certain circumstances. Now, the next stage of the Seder is the Baruch, the Birkas HaMazon. At the end of the Seder. Now, benching is something that we are fairly familiar with, that we're not going to explain what the Birkas HaMazon itself is right now, but there are like two or three issues about relating to the Birkas HaMazon, the third cup that accompanies the Birkas HaMazon, that we will stop and speak out pretty quickly. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch brings down a lashon, it's Mitzvah in Tesif Aleph, that is a mitzvah to try to guarantee that you have a mezumen, that you have a zimun at the Seder for Birkas HaMazon. Now that's the Lashon in the Shulchan Aruch. Now the Noseh Kelim in Shulchan Aruch were a little bit troubled. Like, why? I don't have there's not a mitzvah to make sure that there's a mezumen on any Shabbos or Yom Tov meal. So why dafka over here does the Shulchan Aruch say that you got to find a zimun? It sounds like you have to like go next door and knock on the door, drag a guy over, let him eat with, like, what does that mean? So the pshat in that Shulchan Aruch, the way the accepted halachic understanding of that chiddush is that we don't really care about the zimun at benching in terms of having a mezumen at benching. Now that's not what the Mechaber meant. The Mechaber meant was that this comes up in relation to Birkas HaMazon. It's really more nogeya the way the Mefarshim explain. It really is true that we care about having, what's true is that we care about having a zimun for the Hallel section, which immediately follows the Birkas HaMazon. In other words, bench, have your third cup, but be ready to have your three people. Why do I care about having a mezumen for Hallel? Where do we ever hear about that before? So here, as the Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch explain, and this is true, agav, for any Hallel, not only for Hallel by the Seder, that there's a mitzvah to have a mezumen, three people, when you say Hallel. Why? A couple of the lines that we say, the Hodel Hashem Kitov and Ana Hashem at the end of the Hallel, meant to be said responsively. We had the Mishnayos and the Sugyos and Sukk about that. The Shliach Tzibur calling out to the people, they respond, etc. So what the Halacha tells us over here is that if you're going to do what's called the Kriya V'aniyah, the calling and responding, the responsive reading, you have to have a minimum of three. Why? The Chazan says, Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilom Chazo, or whatever the expression is. And they, what does Hodu mean? Right? Or you, right? You guys should give thanks. But it's in Lashon Rabbah. So you have to be speaking to a minimum of two people to have that Kriya V'aniyah system when it comes to Hallel. That's the L'chatchila way of doing it. So therefore, by the Seder, if a person has, the father is sitting at home, they have a couple of little kids, etc., you have to have at least three people there. Now, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, that we don't need the Zimun in the classic sense of having three adult men, etc., your wife counts as a person, another girl, if you're above bas mitzvah girl, etc. There's a discussion, what about the kids? It's better to have at least adults, but you can have, but anybody basically counts. It doesn't mean a mezumen in the Birkas HaMazon kind of a sense. Now, footnote over here, we should realize that halacha applies about the three people for Hallel, by all Hallels that we say. Let's say a person was feeling sick, and they couldn't make it to Tefillah B'Tzibur on a Rosh Chodesh morning, a Chol HaMoed morning, and they're dabbing in the room. Well, what you're supposed to do is you walk over somewhere, you find two people there, and you do the Hallel with them. It doesn't matter whether they're saying Hallel or not. You just call it Hodu Hashem Kitov, they say the line, etc., and you go through the thing. Remember last year we had our youngest son, Ben Simon, was born over Hanukkah time, so he was born right before the Nate, so it was like a shtickle you know what, you're going to have a crazy, you know, crazy time mitzvah davening. So I went to the shul, you know, like here, you know, thank God, it's all the shuls have like shtibels in them, all the hasbels have shtiblach in them also. So I went, but whatever, it was a whole confusing, whatever it was, whatever ended up happening. And l'maisin worked out that I just like, just missed the minyanim that were going to be davening and whatever is manim were there. And, but there were people sitting in the base matter. So by halo, you tap two people on the, I mean, I was sort of like hoping that people knew what I was doing, because in the middle of halo, so you can't like talk to them. I'm going to tap them on the shoulder and point to the sitter, you know, like, you know, get over here, let's do this. And I really thank God, at least whatever it was, like they, you know, understood what we were doing. But that's what you have to do. You could get two people and you do the kriya v'ani, or the hodu l'shem, etc., like you were doing shul, but on a mini basis with only three people sitting. That's one idea that comes up in the sugya of Barich, even if that's directly related to Birkas Hamazon, having three people there by the time the benching begins. Now, the Shulchan Aruch also brings, the Ramah rather brings, a halacha over there also, Siman Tafayin Tes, that there's a minhag by the Seder that the Baal HaBayis is the one to be mezamein. Most Sederim have a Zimun, an actual regular Zimun, a Rabosan Yavarech Zimun, by the Seder. There's a special minhag that we have that the Baal HaBayis is the one to be mezamein. He should not pass that kibbutz over to anybody else. That's stand like a little bit of a point when it comes to there. Last, about this section of the Birkas HaMazon, is the Kos Shlishi, the third Kos of Yayin, that's said in conjunction with the Birkas HaMazon. Now, you remember back, I think it was probably the first night that we were learning through the Seder, we had pointed out that all of the kosos of Yayin through the Dalet Kosos are associated with a mitzvah that through that mitzvah or mekayim the concept of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We discussed Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's certainly true by the third kos as well, right? By the brach of Nodilacha, that second brach, we speak about a Kadosh Baruch Hu taking us out of Mitzrayim. We just have in mind when we're actually saying the bracha, holding the cup in our hand. Agav, we have to remember, when we bench, we have to be holding the kos of the Yayin in our hand. Shouldn't just be saying, because you're saying the benching with that kos. The Gemara points out that each one of the kosos were attached to one of the mitzvahs of the night. So that's the benching kos. You have to have it, and you have to have it in your hand. You'll have to have to pick it up like this the entire time. You should be holding it, though, at least, in your hand while you're benching. And while you're saying the Nodilacha, you're mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim, the person should have in mind that this is the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that's associated with that kos. Now,
the
halacha is held till after Ayich HaShoreinu, whatever the benching part is. After that, benching is over.
Everyone holds their own
in this world. All right, you got to hold your own. Now, the Mishnah tells us on Kuf Yudayin Amid Beis in Tzachim, there's a halacha that says that between Bein Shlishi L'Revi Lo Yishte, in between the third and fourth courses of Yayin, you're not allowed to take a drink. You can't drink anymore after that. The Gemara points out, it's a sugya earlier in Avri Pesachim, and Kuf Ches, the Gemara basically points out that that's a chashash midrabanan, obviously, because the whole Dalet Kosos are midrabanan, but that's a chashash, we're a little concerned, maybe they didn't realize what the modern teenager is like, but that's a concern of Shema Yeshakir. A person might end up getting drunk, you're drinking a little too much wine, and you drank a third cup, right? If you're going to add another one in between, so then it's late in the night, you drank already too much. What happens if you get a little drunk right away? So then you might not be able to finish up with Hallel, you might not be able to finish the Seder. You have to not drink any wine up until the time of the fourth course. That's a halacha that's brought in Shulchan Aruch, as opposed to in between the second and third courses. The Gemara says, Yayin betocha suda, eino mishtak, your wine that you drink in the middle of a meal, since you're involved with eating. The Gemara assumes that will not make you drunk. You can drink as much as you want of wine during then. That's fine. It's dafke, in between the third and the fourth courses, that you're not allowed to drink, any kind of yayin. You can't drink it all over there. Now, there's a minhag that comes up right as you pour the fourth kos, right before we begin the halil, which is basically the final section of the Seder. We open up the door, we say a couple of psukim, shvokha chamasra ala goyim, where you should pour out your anger, your wrath against the umas ha'olam who don't recognize you, etc. So what's that all about? So that's a minhag, as Reb Chaim explained, that's based actually on a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk tells us that Pesach night is a leil shimurim. A leil shimurim, it's a night where we're guarded. The Gemara points out in Kuf Tesam and Beis and Pesachim that a Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over us on Pesach night. We're free from any concerns about negative things taking place. A Kadosh Baruch Hu watches out. We open up the door to show, even if you're living in the middle of Harlem, even in Washington Heights, or wherever it is, you open up your door. Normally you don't put up a door open at night. That's ridiculous. It's scary. You open up your door. We're not afraid of anything. Wherever I am, the door is wide open, and I know nothing's going to happen. Obviously, you slam it and bolt it, you know, five times afterwards. But at least those 2 minutes, you say, well, you know, I'm big, tough, whatever it is. And I know, well, many people on MacBeth leave the door open all night long. So Leil Shimurim, there's nothing to be concerned about. You leave the doors unlocked, etc. But in the Fachot, we open up a little bit. So Reb Chaim pointed out that if that's the beer of that minug, which is clear in all the Rishonim, that's what it is, then really it would have made a lot of sense, a beautiful Reb Chaim, it would have made a lot of sense that you should do that like at the beginning of the Seder, maybe like at the end of the Seder. Like, why Davka over here? Like, where did this come up with? At this stage in the game, we decide to demonstrate that it's a Leil Shimurim, as the Chumash says in Parashas Bo. Do it some other time during the Seder. So Reb Chaim pointed out Kedarko Bakodesh, a beautiful chap within the Gemara. Gemara points out in Kuftes Amibes and Psachim that there's a concept. We know that we're very makbid about sakana related issues. We don't like doing things that are dangerous. So Gemara says it's a hard sugya over here because we don't really understand what it means. The Gemara says that if you drink cups of wine in zugos, in pairs, even in number, cups of wine, that's a sakana. It's a bad thing. Now, in other words, you want to drink 3 cups, that's okay. 4, that's a problem. 2, a problem. 1, okay. 6, a problem. There you go. Shkar, right. 7, okay, right. The even numbers are problems. The odds are all going to be okay. Just remember that. When you drink that 6th cup, you just got to do one more. That's just to make sure you don't have a zugos problem in the Gemara. What? So the Gemara asks over here on Kuf Testament base, Heichi Metakne Rabbanan Midi Dasi Bali De Sakana. How could Chazal have instituted drinking 4 cups of wine? It's a sakana. You can't do such a thing. And here was where the Gemara brings up the idea of Leil Shimurim, etc. Says Reb Chaim, a beautiful, beautiful halachic chat. He says like this: why do you open up the door be right before you pour the 4th cup? What are we showing? By the 1st cup, the 2nd cup, the 3rd cup, there's nothing wrong with drinking those kinds of things. There's no zugos problem. You're not drinking in pairs and all that. That hasn't happened, so that's all normal. But what's going to happen? He says, as soon as we pour the 4th cup, that's when all the kids at the table, everybody knows you can't drink zugos. Everyone's going to jump up and say, whoa, well, what are you talking? You can't pour, what's a 4th cup of wine? We know, David Kosas, that's the last thing. What are you pouring? You can't do that. So what do? We open up the door. It's a Leil Shimurim. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us over here. You incorporate the Gemara's Hezber of why we're allowed to drink the 4th cup of wine, and it's not a problem of Zugos, by Davka opening up the door and demonstrating that it's a Leil Shimurim, and there's really nothing to be worried about. Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps us free of all sakana by Leila Seder. That was the Reb Chaim about the Shvok Hamaskah. And just stammer, I'm going to mention one again, like a little bit of a footnote, that you realize like the godless of Gedolim, of Lamdanim, etc., like every little minug that we have in the course of our Jewish life, in the course of our halachic careers, is based on very, very like real concepts. There's nothing that we just do out there for the sake of doing it. There are makoros, there are sources for everything. This is one of those like beautiful things that Reb Chaim pointed out, a seemingly like meaningless minug. His mamish is jumping out of the page of a Gemara if you just understand how to associate all of the different sugyos with the practices that we actually have and can just figure out where we are coming from. Yeah.
So it's implied by the time that on Pesach night you don't have to worry about 4 kosos because Leil Shimurim. What about but during the rest of the year, so we should be worried?
Okay. That's what it says. That's what it says. You can't drink zugos, right?
So if I'm drinking 2 cups, I should like 1, 2.
Yeah, you have to go through sugya. What exactly? How many cups kinds of zugos, right? But yeah, the Pasha says yeah. Pasha says yeah. The if you, that won't be a problem.
What?
For you, that won't be a problem. Yeah.
Why wouldn't we open the door after the first 2 cups?
So that's again, you have to look in the sugya a little bit more. When the zugos, if it's by 2, dafka by 4, you have to look in the lines in the Gemara says you shouldn't drink 2 cups like stem, like that. That's also a problem of zugos. So you have to figure out why we don't do a dafka then. The last thing. Well, that's like real stage by the Seder, the stage of the Halil. Now, the other night, we discussed, really, Berichas, the division of the halal. Why we split up halal into two parts, different themes that came out of the Rishonim and Gaonim about that halal, how we relate it to the entire, how we relate to the entire, to the entire experience. So tonight what we're really going to try to do for the last couple of minutes is focus on a discussion the Gemara and Rishonim have about the end, the conclusion of the halal. I want to point out enough Kuf Yudayin Amud Beis over here in Psachim that you have a machlokas, two different opinions exactly how a halal is supposed to conclude by the Leila Seder. The Mishnah says at the end of halal you say something called Birkas Hashir, the bracha of song. That's the way you conclude the halal. So the Gemara asks, as any one of you would ask, my Birkas Hashir, like what is that? What are you supposed to do? Right? What are you supposed to say? You have a machlokas in the Gemara. Now, one of the opinions is very, very familiar. You know, at the end of every halal we say we have a thing called Yehalalucha, right? There's a little paragraph that we say. Some or other, they always manage to say it very, very fast. There's like no time in between the end of halal and the chazans, you know, making that bracha at the end. But you're supposed to say it, not just look at it and, you know, mumble it and rush through the thing. But there is a paragraph over the Yehalalucha that you're supposed to say. That's the Birkas Hashir. And with the words, Melech Mehulol Batish Bacha. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the bracha that you make at the end of halal. Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, no, Nishmas. Now, as the Rishonim here point out, he means you also say Nishmas, not just the Birkas Hashir. You say Nishmas, the same thing we say in Shabbos morning during the Psukei de Zimra. And the Rishonim point out over here, and there's a lot of discussion, Agav, in the Mefarshim, like why you would say either of these two things, what does it represent, etc. That's just, honestly don't have enough time right now to try to go through all of that. But you do have a machlokas here now, about like in a practical sense, what do we do? And if you stare in your Haggadah, if you actually open up Haggadah and look at it, you'll see where all this debate in the Rishonim, you know, comes out. There's a Rashbam over here that says like this: the different master Rabbi Yochanan Omer. The Rashbam points out that lehalacha lemaisa, we try to follow both of those opinions. We say nishmas, we say the Yehalalucha. The Gemara brings up a third opinion. You say the what's called the Halel Hagadol. That's the Hodel Hashem Kitov Kivu Elam Chazdo that we say during Pesukei de Zimra on Shabbos morning. We say that too during the Seder. That's the part of the end part of our Hagadol. Now, the Rishbam says what you do is like this: you follow all of the opinions, but what you do is when you get to the end of Halel, you just add the Yehalalucha part. You make the bracha Melech Mulav atish b'chos, Baruch atah Hashem Melech Mulav atish b'chos. Then you pick up with the rest, with Nishmas. When you get to the end of Nishmas, like if you remember like what we say in Shabbos morning, it concludes with the Yishtabach section of the Tefillah, and you make the bracha. How does that go? Whatever it is, Abochir b'shir yizim melech keol chei ha'olamim. You end with that bracha. So according to the Rashbam, there are two times during the end of Halil that you actually make a bracha. You stick in the entire Nusach HaTefillah by both of those sections. Tosus quotes Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen. Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, who learns that's not true. He doesn't think you would do that. You only say the chasima, the concluding bracha of Yishtabach at the very end, but you leave out the bracha at the end of Yehalalucha. Now, all of us, halacha lemaisa, follow that shita of Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen. Now, that's the way we do it. We say Yehalalucha. We don't make the bracha at the very end. We move into the nishmas. We go through that, and we conclude with the Yishtabach at the, what's again, you follow the seder that's there in the seder. Now, there is a debate amongst some of the Rishonim what the order of all of those tefillos is supposed to be. So sometimes you'll see like little captions or a parenthesis in the Siddur. Some say this there, some say that there. But the common meaning is to do it the way it's normally printed in the Agadas without switching the things around. But again, you should be aware that there is this machlokas over here between the Rashbam and Tosis about the conclusion of the Halil by the Leila Seder. Now, the Tosis discusses over here, again, just to point it out without us really getting into it, that this idea that you have these conclusions, the debate in the Gemara, do you say Nishmas, do you say just the regular Yehalalucha, that Tosfos himself points out has a lot to do with some of the questions that we had brought up the other night about why the Halal is divided. It's clear, Tosfos says in one of his pshatim here, that but if you add Nishmas at the end of Halal, that we're not just talking about the classic regular Halal that we would say any Yom Tov, any Rosh Chodesh. There's something more to it. There's something more emotional. Remember that Rav Haigon that we learned about the Halal of Shira? that we say, right? So Tosfos himself, in one of his opinions, points out that that's probably what's represented by the fact that we're adding extra tefillos into the end of Hal that we wouldn't normally do. And again, that you should chazer over the Rav Hai and all the things he spoke about then to get a fuller appreciation for the end of the Hallel. Now, the last stage of the Seder, which we don't really do anything, the Nirtza stage, we ask Hashem to be Ritzei, to accept our entire, and accept our entire avoda, we're mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about a binyan abayis, that we should be zolche, to be able to eat from the Karban Pesach once again. And that's a tefillah that's meant to be said by umka deliba, with a real, really from the depths of our hearts, a very real kind of a feeling that we're mispalel, we want the binyan abayis. There's some mepharshim will point that, I apologize, I just don't remember where I saw this, just in my mind, that there are those that say, if you remember back at the Koreif line, we discussed two nights ago, we say, Zeich al HaMikdash Kilo, Kein al Sehil, Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash, Ayakayim, Koreif, Matzah, Pesah, Matzah, Mar, Ochan, Shen, Kalakayim, Ashen, Amar, Amatzah, Zumrorim, Yochlu. Now, if you look in Chumash, those of you who have a good Bekiyas in Chumash, all just jumped when we said that line and said, well, that's the wrong Pasuk to quote. Because you know that Pasuk is said in reference to the Pesach Sheni in Parshas Baloscha. By the Pesach Rishon in Parshas Bo, the Chumash words the Pasuk about eating matzah and mar together with the Karban Pesach totally differently than that. That's the line by Pesach Sheni. So why, when we're speaking about the Koreh, the Zeichel and Mikdash, we quote a Pasuk about Pesach Sheni instead of the other thing? So some point out that that's Davka supposed to be in our minds when we say the Nirtza. Well, we have an opportunity right now to bring Makar v'Karban Pesach already this year. If the Mikdash comes about tomorrow, right, the next morning, so then by Pesach Sheni time, we'll have the schus of being Mekayim the Karban Pesach. So we're hoping, again, that in the schus of our doing all the Zeichel and Mikdash, trying to recall the Avodas and Mikdash, caring about the Beis and Mikdash, davening for the Beis and Mikdash, Yemir to Hashem come the time of Pesach Sheni, 1 month later, that we should be Zolcha to actually be in Yerushalayim, being Makar of that Karban. At the end of the Seder, we know that there are many Minhagim that Klai Yisrael keep. Many people say Shir HaShirim at the end of the Seder. The Brisker Rav was very makpid to say Shir HaShirim at the end. As we know, he was not an emotional person at all. He was a very, very cold person in Brisker Rav, but it's reported every year at the end of the Seder he would go outside from his house in Rehov Yeshayahu right off Kikar Shabbos and would dance in the street. He would take some of his Talmidim, his family, he would make Rikudim out of the Simcha at the end of the Seder. There's one last halacha we'll point out in Siman Tav Ayin Tes, and this will close. The halacha is, and this is like a halacha brought in a brisa already, that a person is chayiv, I repeat, C-H-A-I-V, you are chayiv to stay up all night at the Seder and be osek in Hilchos Pesach and Sipur Yitzchak and Tzitzayim even after the Seder. A brisa is quoted halacha l'maisa in Shulchan Aruch. We're mechuyiv not to go to sleep on Pesach night, but to stay up as late as possible. Shina is the lush until you just become overcome with sleep. You just plach at the table, staying up, learning in Yanim of the Seder. The Brisker Rav used to always point out, it's amazing. Shavuos night, there's a minhag. Sacha kol, it's a minhag. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Rishonim to stay up on Shavuos night. Everyone stays up. This is something that's quoted in the Brisa, it's brought in the Rishonim, it's Pasuk in the Shulchan Aruch, you got to do. And many people, if not even most people, don't even try. The Seder is over, you go to sleep. That's it. Wrong, wrong, and wrong. We have to try to stay up. We stay with our friends, our family, whoever is there, and learn in Yanim of Pesach again, halachos, agadata, etc., as long as possibly can until we collapse by the table, and then we go down to Beit Amir Tashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability, our newfound knowledge of the Seder. We should have a greater appreciation for every last detail that we're making. We should be zocheh to see the Binyan HaBayis even before Pesach Sheni this year, and again HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us to Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh.